It's a gospel on the radio talk show. A show about dreams and visions and a church that is indeed triumphant, alive, and well.
For the church, triumphant, is alive and well.
Hello, Tallahassee. This is the Gospel on the Radio talk show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I am your host, and I am always just happy to spend the time with you on a Sunday morning just talking about the things of the Lord. As I say, this is a show about dreams and visions and a church triumphant, alive and well. We have a few rules. We don't talk sports, politics, doctrine, but we do always speak well of one another. Been doing this now for 1,165 shows today. And it's been my pleasure just to be able to talk about things that I believe affect all of our lives. And, of course, my theme has always been, as it is today, the church. Because the church, to me, is the hub that my life centers around. Now, I don't take anything away from the fact that, yes, God is he's the center. But he's the one who commissioned the church. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so the church that's been prevailing against hell through all of these years is still alive and well today. And, of course, we realize that there are things that come against the church. And I believe that there is a direct attack in the day and age in which we are living against the church, against the Word of God, against family. Now you might say, well, Pastor King, you're starting off kind of sour this morning. And I don't mean to do that. But the truth of the matter is that as I am a person who I'm always looking for better life, not only for me, but for anybody that I know. I look at life like this, that God, and I'm talking about my Heavenly Father, has blessed me beyond measure. It's amazing. It's amazing, God's blessings. But I have to contribute it all to him, because I'm a person who has a lot of flaws in my life. And I depend upon God to be able to help me to have life, the joy of life. And see, I look at the blessings of family. I look at the blessings of friendship and relationship. I look at the blessing of being a part of a church family where I know that I am loved and that I love the people who I worship with. These are all blessings. And truth being, are you ready for this? I kind of live in a different world than really the world that I'm living in. Because in many, many ways, I don't recognize the world in which I live. Because it's different from the way that I was raised. I'm not a young man anymore. I'm a child of the 50s. I say I'm a child of the 60s because much of the influence of my life was in the 60s. But I remember the 50s, and I remember what life was like in the 50s. And I know some bad things about life in the 50s, and I know good things about life in the 50s. And in many, many ways, things were simpler. Now, keep in mind that my parents and my grandparents were alive during World War II. They experienced that, though it's just hard for me to even imagine what that was like to live in those days, knowing so many of your loved ones were going off to war, and many of them were not coming back. And that terrible, terrible conflict. I remember what it's like to have parents. Now, I wasn't alive during the World War II, but I was born not long after that. I remember the Vietnam War. And now, Korean War, that's a little fuzzy. I was very, very young during the Korean War. But the point is that people in those days understood certain things like family and hard work and living a life patterned after Christian principles. Now, are you saying, well, Pastor King, are you saying that everybody was a Christian back in those days? No, no, that's not true. But the reality is that in my life and in my world, most people were. And they understood church, church life, the principles of life, the principles of God, following the basic tenets of the Bible. That was a part of the world in which I grew up. And now it would seem like that the scripture is foreign to people. And I'm not kidding. I'm talking about literally foreign to people. And sometimes people have just enough knowledge of scripture to base some theology that is far from what scripture teaches. Because maybe they've heard a few things and maybe a few sermons along the way. I'm not sure where people come up with some of the things they come up with. But it's awfully amazing to me. So I'm going to start us off with a song. Now, let me qualify the song before I say it. This is mostly talking about church life and things that have to do with church. So, but I'm just going to play the song because it kind of sets the question. And then we'll talk about it when we get back. This is the Booth Brothers.
Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while. It was the touch. Ooh, it was the touch of the master.
Touch of the Master's hand. Now, that's a song by the Booth Brothers. And for my internet friends who are listening on the podcast and you didn't hear the song, I want to explain it to you. It's basically a song about an auction that's taking place. And getting down toward the end of the auction, just a few items left, and the auctioneer, he holds up this old fiddle and a violin, I guess is the proper word, and nobody's interested in it. Nobody's bidding on it. And so the auctioneer, he's about to sell it for $3. And then this old gray-haired man comes up the aisle, and he picks up that violin and a bow, and he begins to play it. And it's melodious. I mean, he's playing this thing in such a way that it's just, the music is just stirring hearts. And so when he's done, the auctioneer starts the bidding again, and it brings over $3,000. And they're saying, what made the change? And they said, the touch of the master's hand. Well, see, before we got to the song, I was trying to explain my life and my perspective of life as a person who was born in the 50s. I've seen a lot of change in life. But a thing that has always been a part of my life through family and through teaching and even in school was that there was a master, and we say this is God. And that God is alive, and we pattern our life after God and after the Bible. And we follow biblical teachings. Well, as I say, all of this has become challenged. And I told you a little while ago, since I was born in the 50s, but I'm really a child of the 60s because I was like most teenagers. At that time, listened to the radio, and on the radio, they were playing a lot of music, and it was different. And this country. We had gone from the days of more of the ballots and things of that nature, and this, you know, the I'm trying to think here, how do you describe it? Oldies to my parents would have been Lawrence Welk type of music. And see, you see, to, if you're younger, you don't even know who Lawrence Welk is. It's just, I know this is all generational, but having grown up in the 60s and the music changed and the lyrics changed and the whole idea about sexuality changed, and there became a time where people did not view marriage in the realm of conviction and being committed one to another. All of that was being challenged in a different generation, and it was all reflected in the music. Well, the thing about it is that not only were that generation challenging that, they were challenging God Himself. And much of the music, again, reflected God as not being an important part of society. And so, as I'm a young man growing up, and my barometer, or my radar, however you want to say it, I mean, it's stuck in a certain place because it's the way I've been taught by my parents, by my church. Now all that was being challenged. And then you've gone on into the 70s. And I believe that there was a TV show that had a tremendous impact in challenging the relationships between a man and a woman and the commitment of marriage. And the show was called Three's Company. And some of you would laugh now. They say, well, Pastor King, what are you talking about? But the very reality of a man living with two other women. Now, I understand that you have to understand the whole premise of it all, but it opened a door. To me, it would seem that way, that it opened a door to where all of a sudden it became normal, almost, maybe not almost, for a man and a woman to live together. They were not married. And see, some of you are listening to this and say, man, this guy is really old-fashioned. Well, I am. I have no qualms to say that. I am. But I am a person who is a student of the Word of God. I'm a student of the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I study the Bible, and I try to live my life and pattern my life after the Bible. And, of course, the Bible is very clear about this. There's no questioning that the writings of Jesus and of the Apostle Paul talks about the faithfulness of marriage and the commitment of marriage. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, where in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And among whom also we all had our conversation in times past of the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Now, let's think about this. One of the big political issues of our day, right now in America, and we're now getting into the political season. In just a few months, we're going to be electing a president again. And I just heard this on the radio, so this is fresh in my mind. The three top political conversations right now is the economy, the border, and abortion. Three. And, of course, just a little while ago, the Supreme Court came out with a huge decision, throwing out Roe versus Wade and sending it all back to the states, so where the states will now make the decision concerning abortions. And some of the states have gone one way and some have gone the other way. Some of them have actually become a clearinghouse now. It says, bring them to us. We'll abort them over here. Well, you see, I heard this on the radio the other day. Somebody said, I believe in a right to choose. So do I. I believe that you have a right to choose whether or not you're going to make a baby or not. To me, that's the time to exercise your rights. Because once you have created life, I don't think that's your right to decide. And that's just me. So he's an old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy. No, I believe in life, and I believe that God is about life. And see, you've probably heard me talk or teach about this before in the realm of the devil worship and the kingdom of darkness. Well, the thing about it is that when the scripture talks about in John chapter 10, it says that the thief, which is the devil, he says he comes over the wall. He won't come through the gate because the shepherd is in the gate. He comes over the wall because he has a mission to steal, kill, and to destroy, which simply says that to the devil, the highest prize, his highest objective is death. It's all about death. And just a little note here. This is why Sister Tammy and I, and Tammy's my wife, by the way, we don't do Halloween. We do not participate in Halloween in any way. And we raised our children that way. And it was difficult because on Halloween, we would go pick our children up, bring them home. Because Halloween is all about death. I mean, when people are putting rest in peace and tombstones in their yard, don't tell me that's not about death. And so abortion is about death. That's the devil's highest price. But you see, in the era of the 60s, when all of these things were being challenged, and people were, you know, a song that came out says, if it feels good, do it. But then there's consequences. And now this is going to get me in a lot of trouble here. But the thing is, it's one of the cures as well. We'll just kill it. If we end up having a baby, we'll just kill it. So, Pastor King, you're getting kind of rough here. No, I'm just telling you as I see it, as a person who grew up in a time when it was more clearly understood. Now, I know, don't think I don't know. There were problems in those days. And I think in some ways, some things are actually better today than they were in the 50s. Now, I'm just being honest. There are some things that were in those days, that as a child or as a young man, I know I didn't understand it all. But I knew enough to know that there were some things that were sincerely, clearly wrong. And I think in a lot of ways, some of those things are better. But the truth is that God has not changed according to his word. God created the heavens and the earth. God created man. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God loves humanity and God loves life. And if God loves life, then that's what should be instilled in me. Now, there's an old song that we'll just play it. The gypsy says, what was so good about the good old days?
That's what was good about the good old days.
Now, I'm mindful of my audience, the people who are going to be listening to this show. A lot of people know that I play Southern gospel music, so that's going to eliminate some folks. But there are people going to church, and some of you tuned in. And I would imagine there's probably people of my generation that's saying, yeah, Pastor King, you're right on. And then there's some more from another generation that says, Pastor King, you're just way off base. Well, here's where I come from. I come from the perspective of, okay, how do you see this, God? How does God see this? Well, I know, as I've already said, that God loves life. And I know that there's a spirit that's been around for a long, long time. Just read the book, Return of the Gods, and it'll teach you a lot, because that book just totally rocked my world when it goes back to teaching, talking about the Molech, this God and his thirst for the lives of children, and they would sacrifice children in the fire. And to me, it's the same thing. Abortion is the same thing. It's just a sacrifice of children, and it's an appeasement to a God that's been around for a long, long time. He's a spirit. He's not God. He's a spirit, but he's a very wicked spirit. And Brother Kahn, in his book, he talks about the return of the gods. He said, in Scripture, he talks about the passage that says that the house was left empty, and it was swept out. But while it was empty, it became occupied by devils that were seven times worse than the ones before. And his teaching is simply this, is that when we said to our students things that we can't let you pray in the schools anymore, you can't read the Bible anymore, and those completely took out the presence of God in our schools, then that left the room for these evil spirits to come in and dwell and have influence. And so that's where we are. And so now this quest to kill babies has become a blight on the land. And because God loves life, and life in the womb, out of the womb. God loves life. And so to have such a calloused heart as a nation that we would do these things, it's just hard to imagine from my perspective, from a biblical perspective, and a person who believes in God. But again, this is where we are. In the song, it's the Blackwood Brothers, and they were talking about what was good about the good old days, and they were talking about memories and melodies. They talk about church and church life, and going and being around Christian people. Well, see, that's my life. So if you say, well, Pastor King, you're a little jaded in your teaching here. Well, I am, because this is how I grew up. I grew up as a person who believed God, who believes in God, and I still believe in God. And I believe that the Bible is God's word. And so, yes, it influences my life. I do my best to pattern my life accordingly. And that's the world in which I live. But I also understand this. The benefit of godly living. Because you see the opposite side of this. We're in a time to where we have so many households that do not have the mother and the father in them. Well, this affects all of society, not just a little bit of society. All of society is affected by this. And when you have young men that are without a father in their life, without that male influence, and again, listening to radio, I heard this statistic the other day. They said that studies have shown that not having a father in the house doesn't affect girls as much as it does boys. Well, I know this. I said, I raised some daddy's girls, and they love their daddy. And yes, this daddy's had a lot of influence in their lives. But my son, well, let me just tell you this little story. I was my son is involved in FCA, and he's the Leon County Director for FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in Leon County. And so they had a basketball league for children out at the First Baptist Church. And he talked me into coming out of coaching retirement to coach a basketball team. And so I did, and I enjoyed it. My schedule is very, very tight, and trying to work that in was a bit of a chore, but we got it done. Had a good season. But as I was leaving the gym one day, some people were coming up to my son, and they were asking him questions, and I could just see the respect they had for him and his position, the work he's doing. And I said, you know what? He's me. I just saw myself, because during my lifetime, I've worked with young people, and I've worked with youth leaders all over the state of Florida. And that's just been so much a part of my life. And he grew up watching me as a little boy. He grew up in our programs, in our camps, in our youth conferences, and the things that we did. He was there. He saw it. And then for a while, he became my assistant. He worked with me. And I said to myself, he's me. Well, see, that's the father. I'm his father. And I've had that influence in his life, and that's why it's so important. Well, when you have a society that does not value that, and relationships are happening, babies are being made, and there's no commitment of a father and a mother, and often just a man who's just going to move on, and he may or may not be involved in that child's life. To me, that is a detriment. And that's a detriment not just to that family, but to the whole nation, because of the irresponsibility of people who will not take responsibility for their actions and the things that they do, because it's just about, just do this and go on and don't worry about the consequences. Lead that to somebody else. And then, again, being born in the 50s, a child of the 60s, from the time of the passage of legislation, they call it the Great Society, this can be tracked so easily. How that when things were done to take the responsibility off the father to provide for his family, turned it over to the government, and it's been nothing but detriment ever since. Until you come to a place where there's a mindset that people are owed these things. And this snowballs right on into where we are today, and many of the problems that we're facing as a nation. And as I've said, this is sometimes I call it the silly season. This is the time of campaigning. We're now in the primaries. That's about to wrap up, and then we'll be getting into the what they call the general election. And now, because of the way the candidate situation is shaping up, that's going to start early this time. And you're going to be hearing a lot of rhetoric in the next few months, back and forth, back and forth. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to what you hear. Don't just fluff it off. Pay attention to what you hear. Because the truth is, there are a lot of things being said that are justifying positions, because we're in a place as a nation, we've got some serious, serious problems that are really not going to be cured by the government. It's going to be cured in the hearts of humanity and how we view things that were being ignored by a lot of people. And I'm talking about the scripture and through the Bible itself that's been set aside. But I remember the scripture talks about a king by the name of Josiah. And it's a very interesting story if you ever want to go back and read it. He was a child king. And during his days, the scripture had been lost. Literally, the tablets had been pushed back behind, I guess it's like a bookshelf or something of that nature. And it wasn't even missed. It had been there all those years. And they decided that they were going to restore the house of God. So they had carpenters and people come in. They started moving stuff around. They found these scrolls. And they brought them to the king. And he began to read them. He began to weep. And he broke his, or began to weep. And it broke his heart. And he called the nation together. And he began to read these things to them. And he proclaimed a fast. And the nation repented. And they turned back to God. Unfortunately, that didn't last forever. But there was a time of renewal in the nation. And that's my prayer, that there would be a time of renewal in our land, and that we'd see the hand of God begin to move. Tribute Quartet. Mercy is going to meet you there.
You wish you could erase and write a different story on a brand new empty page.
Mercy. Tribute Quartet. Mercy is going to meet you there. And that's my prayer, oh God. Mercy. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon a nation that would abort its children. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us where we have fathers who have abandoned their responsibility for their children. And also say this, is that where is the love? Where is the love? You see, my children are like my life. I mean, my wife and I, we talk about this now. We are so blessed. We've got a whole bunch of grandchildren, and they're just so precious to us. And I can't imagine not wanting to care for them, to take care of them. And of course, we have great kids, and they're great parents. There's some times when you know, we're all together and the kids acting up or whatever. And I think back to when I was the dad, and how would I handle this situation? And I say, all right, Jack, this is their child. You let them handle it. And sometimes that's a chore sometimes. But we see, the thing is that Tammy and I instilled things in them as we were growing up. Not perfect parents. We were not perfect parents. And the good thing about us is that our personalities were different. So we complemented each other in certain areas. And like I say, God's blessed us with some great kids. I am the pastor of Freedom Road Christian Ministry. And we're located at 720 Capitol Circle Northeast. I can't believe I'm this far in the show already. I haven't told you this yet, but kind of got on a roll there for a while. 720 Capitol Circle Northeast, frcm.us is our website. And just it's a note there. We're in the process of redoing that. And I'm thinking probably around about the 1st of May it should be done. And it's going to be nice. It's really going to be sharp. It's anyway, right now, you can go there. There is basic information about the church and things of that nature there. Check it out. Check it out. Come out and worship with us. You'll enjoy our little church. We are people who, we love God. We love one another. We have great fellowship. I'm a Bible teacher. And if you want to hear a message from me, and You can join me every Monday through Friday here on 94.1 for the daily broadcast. I do a daily Bible teaching. It lasts about 4 minutes for the teaching. It's 5 minutes for the whole thing. You'll be in and out before you know it. A lot of people like to listen to that as kind of a daily boost, kind of a little pick-me-up, I guess you might say. But then also, I do a 30-minute sermon on Facebook, and you can find it there. You go to our Facebook page. That would be Freedom Road Christian Ministry, and you'll find that. And I'm sure there's a link to it there. I don't do any of that kind of work. I do the message, and then I turn it over to the other people. But if you want to go there and find that, then you can listen to me, a 30-minute sermon, and there's a whole bunch of them there you can listen to. So anyway, that's just kind of get to know me a little bit if you're interested in the church or in the ministry. And as I told you already, I'm very involved in youth and youth ministry as well as the broadcasting ministry as well. And something else that I love this, and that's called the Saturday Night Gospel Sing. And that's an hour of Southern gospel music. We just crank it up and have a great time. I make commentary between the songs. And if you like Southern gospel music, then that's where you want to be. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, right here on 94.1 for the Saturday Night Gospel Sing with me, Pastor Jack King. Now, let's just finish up some thoughts here and kind of bring you up to speed if you've just joined us. Talking about as things as they are today. And we talked about the realm of the what we call the sexual revolution, and where the concept of waiting until marriage has somehow or another it just left. And I meet young people all the time. They say, "Oh, yeah, me and my fiance, we're living together." And I'm going, that has become so much the norm and so much the thought that that's the way it's supposed to be, but it hasn't always been that way. And it's not God's way. It's not God's way. And marriage is all wrapped up in the responsibility of family. And then the other thing is this. It's called work. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor King, what do you know about that?" Well, along with being a pastor, I have been an employer. And I have employed a lot of people in secular work over the years. And I don't ever talk about the secular work that I do, but I've had a business now for getting close to 50 years, and then here a few years later, we started another business. And my wife has had a business in the past. She's a nurse now. But anyway, we know what it means to hire people, and we know what it means to fire people, and we fired a whole bunch of them because people just do not want to work. And it just absolutely amazes me. It just absolutely, I'll hire somebody, and then you know we're driving down the road, going from place to place, and they're telling me about their children and their baby mamas, and I'm just stunned. I'm just stunned. It's not my life. It's not the world that I live in, but yet I know that's the world around us, and here I am offering them a job to where just show up and work. And that seems to be a very difficult thing for some folks to do because they'll be there for a few days and then they just absolutely just disappear. And then wonder, you know, why don't they have money to be able to take care of these children? Now, see, I'm not talking to you about something that I've heard people. No, I've lived this, and I've heard the same stories over and over and over again. Different people, same story. Because it's a story of our generation, and it's a story that causes a nation to suffer. And this is one of the reasons why we have some of these very, very serious problems among our young people who grow up to be adults and have not learned how to even deal with the realities of life because of the absence of the commitments in the home. We see the thing is, if a person along the way meets Jesus Christ and he becomes Lord and Savior, and this person begins to read Scripture and begin to apply his principles to their lives, it is life transforming. It will change a person's life, and it'll change the history of a family. It's an amazing thing. I have a last song I'm going to play for you. And it kind of talks about this. It's by the Gann Brothers. It's called Calvary's Flow.
This miracle from Calvary's Flow.
This miracle from Calvary's Flow. Song talked about a little girl that was afraid of her daddy because he'd been mean to her. He'd been cruel to her because she wasn't a priority in his life, evidently. And he was taking his money, spending it on things. I would imagine maybe drugs and alcohol. I'm not sure. I can't totally interpret the song, but I get the gist of it. And he wasn't taking care of his little girl. Well, Jesus got a hold of his heart, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. He asked the Holy Spirit to come into his life and be that guiding light. It changed his life. Not only changed his life, it changed his family. And see, I've seen this. I see it in church work. And I've seen it in the lives of people that I've known, that they come to Christ. And it's a life-changing thing. And one of the things that I've talked about this before, and I shared this with my church family last Sunday morning. And it's an article that was in a magazine, a Christian magazine. And it was about my grandfather, my Papa King. At 80 years of age, he gave his life to the Lord. He walked down the aisle of the Mount Olivet Christian Church in Mount Olivet, Kentucky. And he served God for the rest of his life. He died at 80. He was, I think, around 71. He was 80 when he got saved. He lived another 8 years. And now, in that church, the Mount Olivet Christian Church, my brother just went to a service there just recently to celebrate my aunt's 80th birthday. In that little church, right now, they are without a pastor. And they have been without a pastor for about 8 years. For almost a year. When my brother went there to visit the church here a few Sundays ago, the person giving the message that morning was my grandfather's grandson. His daughter was leading the worship, and his great-great-son was playing the piano. Now, that's transformation. Because I assure you, this would not have happened if my grandfather had not walked down the aisles of the Mount Olivet Christian Church and gave his heart and life to Christ Jesus. It changed the dynamics of the entire family. I can say the same thing on my side. My mother started attending the Sunrise Christian Church when I was about 2 years of age. And a lot of alcohol on her side of the family, and on Daddy's side of the family as well. All that stopped. And my mother raised us boys. There were four boys in my family, me and my three brothers, raised us in church. There are no alcoholics in my family. They've raised Christian children. My Uncle Jimmy also came to Christ, and he had two girls, and they're both wonderful people, wonderful families, totally changed the culture and the dynamics of the family. In other words, they broke the chains that had bound so many because of Jesus Christ. And this is why I teach and preach the Bible and the principles of Jesus Christ, because if you follow his teachings, you will do well, and your family will do well. And the reality is, when people step away from the scripture and they let their lives follow the course of this world, there's a lot of destruction in that path. And Jesus said it. He said, narrow is the way to salvation, broad is the way to destruction. And of course, as I've already told you, the devil is all about destruction and death. And he leads in a way that is bound to bring a lot of harm, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain in this world. But Jesus says, I come to give you life, and life more abundant. And I thank God for that life. And that's my testimony, that I do my best to walk in the light of his love. And I talk about blessings because he has blessed Tammy and I so very, very much, because we've chosen to follow him. Father God, I pray today that there is somebody out there and they've walked away from the church. They've walked away from Christ, that the Holy Spirit would go to them. The words they've heard this old country preacher preach about or talk about today would penetrate their hearts, and they'd realize that they need to turn back to the God of this life that is a life abundant. Father, I pray for them. I pray for all of our churches today. I pray, God, for the messages that have come forth from our pulpits, that there be a great anointing of your Spirit. Father, we pray over our country. Lord, help us in this time of election. And Father, I pray for peace in this world, peace in the city of Jerusalem and in the nation of Israel. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come out and worship with us today at Freedom Road. I believe you'll be blessed. 720 Capitol Circle, Northeast. Check us out on the Facebook or the website, frcm.us. Till next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless you.